The other day, my friend was telling me that in his church, he had to do a seminar on money, how to give, how to receive, how to pray, because of people's financial difficulties. That is, some people, their problem is spiritual. You understand my point? Because, look, we are believers, so. Let me just say this. It's a matter of how you must understand it. We are believers. God and the children of Israel, you've learned all the principles of agriculture. You know how to farm. He said, but you bring the thing in, I put holes into your pockets. That this is not, there's nothing that will plug those holes except those guys go back to build the house of God. Do you follow my point? So you see, it's not every word that's there. There are words that have to do directly with your career. You will suddenly have an understanding that it's time to, for you are too comfortable, leave that job and go somewhere else. Sometimes it's like that. Other times it's not like that. It can be a simple word like you are not hospitable. No stranger, nobody sleeps in your house and you are not checking the food they are eating. Yes? God just think that is all God, because I can prove it to you from scriptures. I told you before, when Abraham had the promise, he will have that son, Isaac. The day the final word came, listen to me, it was the day he entertained strangers, not knowing they were angels. So we're taught, listen, be careful how you treat strangers. Because many have entertained angels not being aware. When God was going to give deliverance to Lot, the same angels, Lot saw them and offered them help. That was how he connected with deliverance. Are you following the point I'm trying to make? So when I'm talking about a word, it is not every time it has directly to do with that career. The reason why you're not happy as a woman, it is because you don't know how to need that for your husband. It is true. It is possible. The Lord is good. But sometimes it is not like that. It may be the reason why you are not happy as a woman is because you and your husband, you are very stingy. Both of you. You budget everybody else out of your life. When last did you go home with a present for your parents? That this age you go home and you're only telling your parents, hey, you know, things are rough. Yeah, things are rough. You still collect. Your father buy a new television. Say, hey, who give me this one? Now my own don't spoil. God said, you know the problem? You know the manifestation? That's why you and your husband are always quarreling. You don't realize it. A blessing. I told you, listen, every time you walk away from truth, you walk under a curse. That's the way it is. So it's not that like, hey, there's a word for a woman this morning, one woman here. Yeah. Sometimes there's a word like that. There are times the word has nothing to do with her, the way she's relating with her husband. The word has to do with how she and her husband are relating with their parents. Sometimes it has to do with how they are relating with their pastor. Every time they go, they curse the man. Don't mind him. They shout too much. I'm telling you the truth. Some of them, sometimes God just say, this guy is just morbidly jealous. What is his problem? Always angry when somebody else is making progress. What is the fruit? Quarrel in the house. Listen, you see, let me tell you something. That's how I always explain this thing. Christians should not think that when you sow naira, you reap naira. That gospel is not true. So if you want to get naira, you sow naira. I don't have time to discuss it now. Please go and read 3 of my books, especially the latest one. So who will pay for this? And how to work for God. It is not true that when you give naira, you get naira. You can give naira and harvest yam. I'm telling you. No, what I've told you is a matter of fact. That's how it is. Spiritual things produce spiritual things. When you give naira, God, depending on what you are doing, God can see honor, he can see love, he can see mercy, and he rewards you with mercy or love or honor. And those ones manifest according to your needs. God is able to supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. I don't have time to break that one down again. Please go and read those materials if you want to. So this gospel of that, if you want dollar, you sow dollar. If you want pound, you sow pound. If you want yen, you sow yen. God forgive me. And nonsense. A woman gave a room and reaped a child. Let's not go there anyway. What I'm going to explain is this. Just, but let me just drop this. I need to drop this, all right? So the key to the release of God's power is the continual doing of good works. All right? But what I want to bring out here is this. So you see that when the word is coming, it comes in different areas. It comes with different lights. You can't always predict what you come with. Sometimes the word comes directly about that business, about that career. And the word is that, listen, God said, listen, I'm not promoting you because you're always doing everything for promotion. You are a man pleaser. If your boss travels, you go to work late. If he's around, you go on time. That is the key. That's the reason why you are not being promoted. Sometimes it's like that. Other times, it's nothing like that. It's still the word that you need to launch you to the next level. Now, I'm trying to get back to something. Now, having said all of these things, now we understand why the word is important. One of the reasons why people don't connect with deeper truths, the one I said I was discussing with my wife earlier today or yesterday, one of the reasons why they don't is what the Bible calls complacency. King James calls it prosperity. Proverbs chapter 1. And this one, I think, is one of the most important in life, generally speaking. Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. That grace is what lifts us up from one level to another. Where you are going to be tomorrow as a believer, God has planned it already. You are the one hindering your entrance into it. Let me just read the scripture before I go to the main one I want to read. No, you see, actually there. Let's start from verse 20, 28. That's Proverbs chapter 1. I will jump a number of things. Let me just start from verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the streets. Now, I just like to read in context. There are two things I want to bring out. The book of Proverbs chapter 1. Wisdom shouts in the streets from verse 20. She lifts her voice in the square and all of that. Then verse 24, he said, because I called you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel. You did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. Go to verse 8. He said, at that time, verse 28. At that time, they shall call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. Why? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel and they spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated, all right, with their own devices. It said, the waywardness of the naive shall kill him. And the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at peace from the dread of evil. In the same vein he was still speaking, let me just add this one to it. He said, my son, if you will receive my sayings, next verse, that's chapter 2 now, and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, and you can incline your ear to understanding. If you cry for discernment, I just want to emphasize something here, the desire, and lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Let me just stop there. I just want you to read that to emphasize the drive we're talking about earlier. Let me get back to the main thing I want to say. Verse 32. It said, the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. What I want to bring out there is that complacency of fools. If you have a King James, it uses the expression, the prosperity of fools. I don't know whether it's a Living Bible, New Living Translation, or neither Good News or Amplified. Use the expression, the careless ease of fools. That word prosperity describes actually literally prosperity. But the context is this. The ease that prosperity brings is what destroys the fool. I'm going somewhere. One of the reasons why people don't go for deeper truths is simple. The current level they are in has given them too much ease. Are you getting my point? And for that reason, there's no drive for something deeper. I said to my wife, this was how I illustrated it. There are some things I like. I like to use myself as an example. Kingdom World Ministry, the way it's running. Now, I was on a number of broadcast stations, and God's always supplying resources. In fact, I'm still thinking about it. We're supposed to try and get another one to cover a particular area, to be the fourth radio station. And then TV, we're still on one for now, that big one. And there's one other one which I would like us to hang on to. That's Join, INI, Inspiration and Network. Now, so things are coming, amen? Every day, CDs are always going out, books are always going out, and it's nice. I enjoy it. I preach, let me use this, I hope you don't mind. I preach powerfully twice a week. So you enjoy it. You preach like that, I mean, everybody's blessed. This is what I'm talking about. After a while, you get used to it. Especially if you have money to eat, do some things, and you're comfortable, you just get used to it. You just get used to it, and you start in your heart having like, you're not doing badly. Sometimes you're in a business, your turnover is good, you don't owe staff, you're promoting them well, you're paying them well, you finish your house, amen? You bought a second, third car, you're doing well, you have no problem. In fact, you asked your pastor a car last week, well, why not? You're feeling rich. When they call for offering, they drop. You're just feeling... life, you know, something like my friend Chuks would say, just feeling tough with yourself. But God is looking at this, say, now, Lord, just for a minute. This fool has been on this level for the last 5 years like this. And we think, no, not think, the plan is that 2 years ago, he should have moved from that level to another level. But he has been occupied with this level. He has not taken a leave. Because one of the things I notice is this. Sometimes if you don't ask questions, God doesn't say anything. I don't know when he does it and why he does it. But it appears like sometimes if you're happy like that, he doesn't say anything. He prompts you once in a while. You overcome some of the challenges and you're just happy. So he does not say anything. One of the reasons why he doesn't say anything is that he has taught you enough to know when to ask questions. Do you understand the point? But people not realizing, they just stay on that level, and the fellow is happy. And I dare to say, most of businesses in Nigeria today, that's their problem. Once a man breaks out of that village poverty level, you understand my point? He suddenly feels rich. Every Christmas, he drives home with a new Jeep. And to him, it is prosperity. But the Bible calls it the prosperity of fools. Why? Because it has begotten inside them complacency. Don't forget, we are talking about truth. We're not talking about striving. We're talking about what? Truth. That's one major problem that may come upon Christians. The promotion that God puts them into a particular level. Listen, for example, children of Israel, if you keep on getting manna, 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 after a while you get used to it. You don't have to walk. But God said, that's not good enough. You must leave the manna level and enter the promised land level. Are you getting my point? Now, this is a problem. In the promised land, manna doesn't fall free. You have to cultivate. But a lot of people want to stay at the manna level and think the fact that you have to cultivate is not good. That's what I mean. When my wife and I were talking about it, I said, look, it's like a child in secondary school. You are now in SS3. Any physics they bring, you destroy it. They say, calculate the speed of the object when the acceleration is 25 meters and it's been acting on it for the last 15 seconds. What is the current speed? What is the momentum? And just do like this, just carry paper. Sorry for the hell about back. First year, you are doing that. Second year, you are doing that. You can draw any chemical structure in secondary school level organic chemistry. You've been drawing it for the last 4 years. Your classmates that were not that good, they have done jump, they have passed jump, they are now in final year industrial chemistry. You are still drawing. Why? Because they were hailing you, Babake. You were the main representative in quiz competitions in that school, and you can't let that glory pass you by. Every year you're on television answering questions in secondary school quiz. It's funny. But that's how sometimes as believers we live our lives. You're on that level. You say, what do I do when I'm on that? After that's why, you know, I told you before, you need a break. You just need what? A break. Every time they're inviting you to go and preach, maybe a very busy preacher, after a while, say, hey, wait. Next 6 months, no invitations. What am I doing? Nothing. I'm staying at home. Every morning, I'm praying to ask the Lord, what is the next level? We cannot stay every day going to for secondary school squeeze competition. Because there is advanced physics. There's advanced chemistry to learn. We have to learn certain degrees of atomic physics. Not the secondary school level. But if we are so busy, you understand my point? Shining in the quiz competitions, we forget. And then one day we wake up, life has passed us by. I hope you're feeling what I'm going to explain. That's one of the problems that Christians may encounter. And that's what I call the prosperity of fools. The fellow is prospering at this level. And God says, no, there is another level which you need another truth to step into. And until you, listen, until you take a break, take time out and say, God, I want to seek you so as to know the next level of truth. Don't ever forget this. You don't know everything. And everything you don't know is removing something from your life. There's a level of life God wants you to walk into. And it's not going to be by, listen, if they are still laying hands on you right now, make sure it's because, you know, if you go to church every Sunday, they must lay hands on you. Next Sunday, go and tell your pastor that I said that, please do, is enough. That there's nothing you're adding to it. That when I want to move into my ministry or another level, I will come back. But this routine is not necessary. I'm bringing out something here. This thing is not going to be poured upon you with an oil. It's only going to come by the entrance of understanding. It's only going to come by truth that God reveals to you. It can never come in the midst of too much activity. Are you getting the point I'm making? No, it can't. You know, I said something at the beginning. There's nothing like, that brother likes to read. He likes quiet places. You know me, I don't like to read, and I like noisy places. All of us were born with different traits, but all of us must learn that which is good and right. If you were born with the ability to sit down quietly and read, that's an advantage. But those of us that were not born with it, we will learn it. We will learn it. You see, I'm a very slow reader, so I don't really enjoy reading. Praise God for books on tapes. Praise, good enough. Somebody like me, I'm a teacher of the Word of God. I have more recorded materials than I have written. Are you getting my point? So good. And there are many preachers are like that. So even though you don't like to read, no problem. You must force yourself to listen. And please, I've been telling you again and again, one day God will put you on a spot. You will have to choose whether you are going to watch UEFA Cup finals or read a book. I won't say it more than that. Don't get carried away by things that don't add anything to your life. This ball is played the same way every time. The way Pele played it is the way Ronaldo played it, and is the way, what's the name of this? Messi is playing it. It's the same thing. There's no kick they have not used before. When we were young, there was Zagallo. We thought it was... it was when I grew up, I realized the guy's name was Mario Zagallo. Say, man, give him one Zagallo, you know? The same way. The same man was... He was 70 and was coach. And Romario was doing the Zagallo at that time. But I'm going to say, please, don't occupy your life. I'm not saying don't watch ball. But please, when important things are down, one day just decide, say, God, I want to prove to you that I love the Word. Amen? As a blow opening whistle, you carry your message, put them for ear. So they come. Enter toilet, sit down there. Your friends will leave you alone. They think something is going on. You understand my point? This is the point I'm trying to make. Listen, sometimes that can be the danger in your life. It brings a kind of complacency. There was a message I preached about 2 Tuesdays ago here. And I said something there. I said, any area in life you are feeling most comfortable is the area where you are most vulnerable. The area that you are feeling very comfortable, say, I have this one in the bag, is the area where you are most vulnerable. In the same manner, the time when you feel like you have accomplished, the moment you start thinking like, yes, I have done all I have to do, there's nothing more to do, then go and settle down and pray. Because go and see one thing the Lord Jesus said concerning what he said concerning the slaves, the servants. He said that what you should say, we are your, is it unprofitable, unworthy servants? He said, we have only done what we're asked to do. Is there any other thing that we are supposed to do? That is the moment you feel like you have accomplished, is when you start asking questions for the truth for the next level you are supposed to get to. No matter how good a husband or a wife you are, there is a level you have not attained, and you will not know until you settle down and specifically ask God to give you understanding. I said something that Moses, that's where I'm going, Moses knew the ways of God simply because he asked. Not because he was meek. Not because he was quiet. Not because God chose him specially, but simply because he asked questions. You know what I'm not emphasizing all of this thing I've been doing? I think Christians, we easily get, like churches these days, all right? In Christianity today, people come and say, Christianity in Nigeria is booming, but go and check. Almost every time we run church the same way, every time. The body of Christ as a whole should ask God a simple question. What is it that we need to do again? We need to. I'm not explaining, listen, that we easily get complacent. We hang up to a truth, even though, you know, I said, when we say something is error, it was not always an error. Are you getting my point? It was not always an error. One of the things one of the modern examples I like to give is some of the teachings we had on faith those days. Like, say, if you want a car, paint a picture, do like this. Listen, testimonies abound on how those things worked. We sat down and say, oh, this is what faith is. Faith is that you call it to be. So if you want to get married, if you want a wife to be 5 feet and 6 inches, tell the Lord 5 feet and 6 inches. Even tell the Lord the shade of powder, bronze 602, that you want her face to be. You know, they have this color coding. Tell the Lord. How do you, what kind of, where do you want her to come from? What should you, paint it. Then wake up in the morning and begin to declare. Hallelujah. You begin to declare. There were testimonies. Some of them, God will just come quickly, give them a picture of what he wants them to have so that they won't spoil anything. And I remember that by Young Icho's book, The Fourth Dimension. Say, I'm pregnant with furniture. Yes. Because pastor went to church and announced that he now has furniture. So people came to his house. So, pastor, where is the furniture now? He said, pregnant woman, does she have a baby or she not? He said, well, technically she does. It's inside. He said, my furniture is inside too. So brethren were going everywhere, pregnant with everything. One of my friends was pregnant with a car. Never delivered that car, ever. In fact, the car changed shape itself. Initially was pregnant. I'm coloring it now. Initially was pregnant with a Camry. I said, how far with your car? You don't burn. I said, no, I have Avalon now. The Lord is good. Now what I'm trying to say is that, look, listen, those days there were testimonies. People would tell you that I did like this. But, you know, as we began to grow, we began to realize that it's not necessary. That God chooses your inheritance for you. Are you getting my point? That the kind of wife that fits you, you don't know. We suddenly discovered that Adam did not know Eve until he saw Eve. Are you getting my point? Because he had never seen Eve, so he didn't have the capacity, are you getting my point, to conceive what Eve should look like. All Adam could think about was a giraffe in the garden, the hippopotamus, all kinds of things. But if he had never seen it, you cannot conceive that which is not revealed to you, because the conception you will have is only of things you have seen. But eyes have not yet seen the one that God wants to do in your life. We began to realize that. So suddenly we threw away all our ideas. So they said, what kind of woman do you want to marry? We now converted to spiritual qualities. Are you getting the point? If you read my book, Should I Say Yes? I describe my own experience in there. People now say that, what will she look like? I said, I don't know. She can be tall. She can be short. She can be fat. She can be slim. She can be fair. She can be dark. One thing is that the day I get married, I will discover that she's right there beside me. As I went to that day, now guesswork. I'm serious. I said, the day I'll finally know is when I hear I pronounce you man and wife. And one brother asked me later, did God speak to you about the woman you marry? I said, yes. He said, how did he speak? With his ears tuned, he wanted to hear revelation. I said, the officiating priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. Are you getting my point? People now sit down and start painting pictures. I say, it's a waste of time. Paint better pictures. Paint pictures now about your ministry. Have desires concerning where you want your existence on earth to go. What do you want to achieve for God on the earth? You don't have too much time to be painting pictures of the kind of car you will make. The one you will drive, the one you will drive when the time comes, they have not made it yet. Suddenly what the words of Jesus became alive. He said, take no thought for the morrow. Stop painting picture about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and which car shall you drive. He said, after these things, the Gentiles seek. Notice something? He said, the Gentiles seek. And Paul explained something to us, that carnality is when we are following the ways of the Gentiles. So that was, in effect, the time of baby Christianity. Painting pictures of what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and where we shall we be clothed. For a time, that was all that was preached on campuses. Once you grab faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Praise God. If you want to eat pounded yam and amala tomorrow with ofe onugbu and bushmeat, begin to speak about it today. It doesn't cross our minds that he specifically said, don't waste your time painting picture on amala. Are you getting what I'm saying? I was there. We preached it. We did. Sometimes I talk to some of my friends of those days. I remember one brother came to Enugu. We were discussing. He made a statement. He said, Banky, you didn't used to speak like this before. And he was speaking as if I was backsliding. I felt like saying, oh boy, we have left the things of childhood. You are still there. I was speaking some truth. For example, talking about the Spirit, he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That interpretation those days was that the Spirit of God will lead you. You'll be hearing whispers. Like I told you, Christians are walking by whisperations. As I began to turn, I heard, amen. Move to the right, move to the right. After a while, we realized, hey, listen, these conversations are unnecessary. And like T.D. Jakes taught us as we were growing up, that no truly powerful person talks all the time. Say, Pastor Banky, why are you wearing a striped tie? Praise God. I said, Lord, what do I wear to impress your people today? I go to minister. And the Lord began to speak to me, that tie. I said, God. Does he speak about ties? Very unlikely. I'm not saying impossible, just unlikely. So, Pastor Banky, why are you wearing this tie? I decided to wear this suit. And I looked for a shirt that was available. And this tie is just to blend the shirt and the suit. That is the Spirit that brought this tie. I'm telling you. We realize that he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what he was saying is that there is something propelling you in life. There's what is called the Spirit of Christ, that I may do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. It guides your decisions. Not the whisperations. We suddenly realized that being led by the Spirit doesn't mean I don't give until God speaks to me. It means I understand that if I see somebody in need and I have the means to meet that need, I meet it. That day I was sharing with my friend. If I remember first time I shared this thing, I was in Luz. Not the first very time I shared, but one of those days. And one lady interrupted my message because we're sitting at a round table. I said, I don't agree with what you are saying. I said, does it matter? I am the one preaching. I told her simply, it doesn't matter. I'm the one preaching. When I finish, you can talk your own. He said, you see, God said, a call upon me, I will answer you. I said, it means if you are hungry, ask for food, food go land. It doesn't mean we start discussing. You want amala with ewedu or what? I said, that's not what it means by call upon me, I will answer you. Call upon me is that if you're in trouble, shout help, and help will come. Because they were fixated on those things we learned as babies. That God will speak to you. And you know, it's like, as we began to grow, so that day, one time my friend came to my house and we're discussing, we're talking scripture. Come on, this is not with the word of God. This is reality. Let's talk about the word of God. This is not the word of God. The reality of the word. We're discussing. After a while, he said, Banky, you didn't used to sound like this before. I still remember. He told me. Because he was still repeating the very things we were saying those days. Some of those things that were about babyhood. When all our faith was how to engineer our lives. Some of us learned. That's what is called the cult of the passing moment. Using the words of Oswald Chambers. That is, listen, I may not know what tomorrow exactly holds in fine details. But I know who holds tomorrow. Oswald Chambers explained to us. That he said the will of God. He said the will of God only makes sense to the man who normally walks out of the will of God. He said, what do you mean? He said, if you are normally in the will of God, you can't even define it because it's your life. He said, but when you are chronically out of the will of God, the first day you are in the will of God, you celebrate it, praise God. Are you getting my point? He said, breathing only makes sense to the man who finds it hard to breathe. To the man who breathes normally, he does not notice what is called breathing until you ask him, oh boy, how far with breathing? It's good, thank God. Any problem? Then we discover, are you getting what I'm saying? So that's when I now hear people like Oswald, Lester Sumra. When I hear people like Lester Sumra and Derek Prince say that they have not been out of the will of God for 50 years, it suddenly made sense. Because when we're dealing with whisperations, it didn't make sense. How can you hear God accurately every time for 6 years? We'll now realize that no, it's not whisperations they were dealing with. If God says, go, the men start walking. And they continue walking and they don't stop. And they'll tell you, listen, we have been on this journey because at the beginning he said to us, go. That journey has been 50 years. So for 50 years, I have been in the will of God. Are you following the point I'm making? One of the reasons why we don't understand deeper truths is that we are too comfortable where we are. Sometimes it's just a matter of pride. I have preached like this before. I can't change it. This denomination was built on this particular message, so we don't want to change it. Listen, truth, it gets deeper. What did I say? Truth, it gets deeper as you are walking with God. Some things that look true today, when you go deeper, you look back and you almost laugh at yourself. And my challenge to Christians is obvious that we are not changing our country. It means we are not walking by the truth that can change it. Yes, take this message to every man of God that Pastor Banks said it. That the major problem why we are not changing the country. You know what it means? We are not preaching the truth that can change it. That's what it means. We're not changing our society. It simply means that the truth that can change the society is not coming out of us. It's not. One of the reasons may be because what we are still preaching was meant to introduce us into preaching. 20 years after, we are still preaching the same thing. So it's no longer relevant. I like one thing Kenneth Hagin said. He said persecution. Listen to this. He said persecution came upon the church in Jerusalem. He said, go and check it. Why? Because God had said to them, you shall be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria. And he said, decades afterwards, after Holy Spirit came, they were still in Jerusalem. So the Lord says, enough. He said, the persecution came upon them. Then the Bible says, those that went abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. Are you seeing that? That is, that persecution would not have come, Kenneth Hagin was saying, if after they had been in Jerusalem for a while, they said, brethren, time to spread to the rest of Judea. They, after being there for a while, they said, time to spread to Samaria. After being there for a while, listen, let's go to the uttermost parts of the world. I dare to say to you, the typical Jew, don't be angry, including Peter. Oh, God. Next time, let me, another reason why people can't understand truth. I'll continue that one next time. They couldn't obey it because they couldn't imbibe the reality, the meaning of what God was saying. It was difficult for the flesh to accept. The Jews thought it was still for the redemption of Jerusalem. They didn't know that the Arab next door was just as beloved of God if he would believe in Jesus Christ. So that's why they stayed in Jerusalem. And God said, what can I do? Let them have it. Persecution came. Then they were forced to scatter. What am I saying? Part of our problem in Nigeria, in Christianity of today, we have been preaching the message of Jerusalem, when by now we should have been preaching the message of uttermost part of the world. Not in geographical matter now, but in deep truth. We preach prosperity, we are still on it. I don't know what I'm saying. Should have imbibed it and left it for some other things. By now we should be preaching the gospel of sacrifice, making our brethren going into politics to take oaths unto death that they will never eat one naira. But what do? When they come back, praise God. Our brother over there is a minister of the Federal Republic. Let him come and sit in front. We celebrate them. Then they give an offering of 10 million. We don't ask questions. Do you understand my point? We can't change the world. We can't like this. We can't. They easily shut us up. They give us offering. That's what they all do. The ministers, the governors, you know what they do to us? We ministers. They give us money. And we feel, once we pack three rickety Tokumbo cars in front, we feel like we have prospered. They use offering to shut our mouth. Why? Listen, next time I'll talk about it. It is not just about what you want to hear. It's what you have the ability to hear. There's a kind of mindset you have. Jesus said to the disciples, there are things I want to tell you. But you still think this gospel is about prosperity. So I can't tell you. You can't hear it. You are still preaching that John the Baptist did not know God. That was why he was wearing locust and white honey. That if you understood some of these revelations, listen. There is a revelation of prosperity, I believe it. But that was not John's problem. John's revelation was locust and wild honey. Listen, revelation has levels. You know, I keep on saying it. You know, I said the other time, there was a time prosperity gospel came. You were supposed to believe it. Having believed it, you move to the next thing. Please read that my book, Grace to Prosper. There are two chapters there I want you to read. One is titled The Vow of Poverty. The other is The Vow of Prosperity. I said both vows should be taken side by side by Christians. If we are not changing the nation, it is not because the gospel doesn't have the power. It's because we are not preaching the gospel that has the power.